Yes, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, my brother. You hear the music in the background?
Yeah, I can hear the music in the background. Respect.
Right, let me bring it down. All right, listeners. We have Paul from Foreign Exchange on the air. And you want to talk a little bit about the history of foreign exchange, Paul?
Right, right. Foreign exchange is probably, what, about 4 years old now?
Uh-huh.
And we started out after I finished. I used to play with another group before, Soldiers. And my brother used to play with, you know, just gig round with other people. And we got tired of that because the music kind of changed into dancehall, and we never really wanted to go that direction. So we started Foreign Exchange.
Right.
And between both of us, we put a crew together, a six-people crew.
Six-people crew?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, so far it's the same six we've been trotting with from the first album, which is Iconoclast. And then we did Such Is Life. About 2 years ago, and then it took us 2 years to do this one, Occam's Razor, which is the one that you're playing now.
Now, can you explain that title, Occam's Razor?
Occam's Razor, it's basically, I mean, the simpler the better. It's from a philosopher called William of Occam, around 1290, basically, you know, designed these principles that, I mean, if you're faced with a lot of complicated evidence, it's usually best to use the simplest form first. So
right.
Simpler is usually the better.
Ah, I see.
Respect.
I see. So, can you let us know how this CD is doing? How is it moving?
Well, thanks to you and your listeners and you know, members of Raw, I have to thank them and big them up as well. And a couple other radio stations. So far it's very well received. We're getting a lot of earplay. Right now it's in all the major record stores, Tower Records, HMV, Virgin Megastore, and, you know, making its way inside America. And it's doing very well. I mean, right now I think people are actually excited about the change in reggae, that it's going back to culture and the type of stuff that we never really stopped playing. And we're getting that kind of reception again. We're even the other night I saw you at Meditation.
Right.
And, you know, that crowd was a very good turnout, and basically the people here were just out to support decent reggae for a change again. So, you know, very optimistic. So I think that, the you know, the reception on the CD is very good.
Well, you know, from that thought there about Meditations, they are actually coming here the 20th, and the owner of the club called up and said, you know, you got to build that. So I said, you know, I said over the air,
right.
I said, well, you got to listen, Richard. There's going to be a brother from a group called Foreign Exchange that's going to be calling. So hopefully he's listening now.
Right.
You know, because I think Foreign Exchange should come through this area.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, that area has always been a very good a good area to pass through with reggae groups. And I'm surprised because, I mean, in days gone by, I remember Ziggy Marley and so on used to pass through and play Binghamton, Ithaca, and all these places.
Well, no, I don't know if he played Binghamton, but he definitely played Ithaca.
Yeah, he played Ithaca. And, I mean, you know, they used to have, in Binghamton College, they used to have, like, a lot of reggae.
Well, you know, actually one of the first bands to play at Binghamton University was Jamala.
Jamala, right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I remember even Israelite took up one time to play Binghamton.
Yeah, man, Israel Vibration.
Israel
yes,
Vibration,
man.
Right.
Yeah, man.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm only hoping that now that reggae has gone into this direction again, that they'd start, in, you know, reintroducing it back to that audience, because it's been a very good audience for the reggae community, you know what I mean?
Well, Paul, let me ask you this. What do you think? Now, I got my own opinion.
Right.
But what do you think some of the reasons that the music went the way it went?
The music went the way it went because of education. I mean, if you think of when Bob died, when Bob Marley died, everybody thought reggae was dead. But at the same time, Peter Tosh was still alive, Burning Spear, Israel Vibration, all these groups.
Uh-huh.
But yet still the new king of reggae was Yellow Man. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't have anything against Yellow Man, but they were very strong foundation there that could have taken up the reins from Bob Marley and taken the the music in the cultural direction. And I think the politics that played out now is that, you know, the dancer was what the youth them wanted and that kind of thing. And you remember we went through the whole age of decadence and so on with the slap miss and
yes,
stuff.
Yes,
and
yes.
I mean, that literally wiped out a lot of very good groups. And I mean, even now in the American market, when you mention some of these groups, I mean, unless you're a veteran or somebody from the old school, a lot of people really don't know them. You know what I mean?
And even people from the countries that they come from.
From the country, exactly. Because even Burning Spear right now have problems playing in Jamaica, which is sad. You see what I mean?
Wow.
And then you have, you know, in Jamaica,
You know, at the university here, man, as Jamaican youth.
Right.
Didn't know who Toots and the Maytals. Right?
Exactly. I mean, because nobody taught them the history. I mean, and it's not like, when you're born in Jamaica, you're born with reggae in your bones, you know, but you're not born with the history of the reggae
right,
in your bones,
right,
you see what I mean?
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, to know, they don't even understand who paved the way for them to be where they are right now.
That's it.
And a lot of people don't understand that because of the political situation Jamaica was going through.
Because politics had a major
part. A major part, yeah, very, because Bob Marley was so strong, I mean, in bringing the youth them together and making them stop fighting, making them stop, you know, fight for politics, you know, kill one another and so on. So that whole history of bringing the people together, I don't think the parties really appreciate that, because then they would have lost their followers, because if
right.
the youth them stop fighting for political reasons, then what is the sense?
But interestingly enough, Paul, I understand that originally when Yellow Man first came out, his lyrics weren't slack, man.
No, it actually weren't. I mean, and a lot of people don't even understand that. But you see,
Eradication, remember Eradication?
Right, yeah.
I think the government kind of told him to cool it.
Yeah. I mean, you see, remember Bob Marley used to have a couple of songs that got banned, Rat Race and all that, got banned in Jamaica, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the government really never want that kind of rhetoric on the ear. But yet still they had no problems in putting, you know, the slackness on the ear.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, once you give people that kind of material to take their mind off of what is really the issue, and you brainwash them that way, then, you know, that definitely you're going to lose it.
But it happens right here in America, constantly.
I mean, yeah, it constantly happens here. And, I mean, you know, and the funny thing about reggae over the years is that reggae, I mean, despite all the fight, the culture has always stood, and there's always been a following for the culture. So, I mean, you know, as them say, everything is 360, what goes around comes around.
Right, right.
So, I mean, you know, you can fight and fight, you know, but the truth is always there. You see what I mean?
Yes. Now, what instrument do you play?
Wow. I play guitar and do the lead vocals.
Okay, and Peter?
Peter is a bass player.
Okay, now, is Peter is he a twin?
No.
No, who's older, man?
I'm older, actually. He's my younger brother.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I understand that he got training from who now?
From Family Man, the bass player for Wailers.
Okay.
He was our next door neighbor in Jamaica. And it's funny because when people mention Bob Marley, you know, I mean, to us, Family Man is our hero, you know, because he was the neighbor that we could go next door and listen to the Bob Marley stuff even before it was released.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Rat Race and all of that, I heard it before it even got released. And he gave Peter the first bass guitar and gave him his first lesson.
Wow.
I tell you something, I remember even when Robbie Shakespeare used to come and take bass lessons from Family Man, a lot of people don't even realize that Robbie Shakespeare from Sly and Robbie took lessons from Family Man.
Wow.
So, I mean, and Family Man's a humble brethren, and I mean, you know, a lot of people don't know how important he was to Bob Marley's music, and, you know, he's really, really a very serious person when it comes to, I mean, the music in Jamaica. A very, very influential person.
Well, how he hung around and caught on, man, is interesting, you know. And he and his brother.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, that
yeah.
was amazing, amazing sound.
Exactly. I mean, even some of the stuff they even did before Bob Marley with Upsetters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you really listen to that stuff and, you know, I mean, you can hear, you know what I mean, the potential of greatness even from then. Bob just had the vision and had the, you know how to deal with that and bring it to the forefront. And that was the amazing combination. That chemistry was, I don't think it can ever be reproduced.
Well, that's what I like what you brothers are doing, you know, is like real instruments and playing, and you get out and play.
Exactly.
And this is important, man, because you're the burden bearers.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you know, all them fast names and fast money come to the brethren, and respect due, but you know, and disrespect due to the ones that come with that negative stuff, man.
Exactly.
You know, but you're there.
Exactly.
You know, and I was talking about it. I talk about it all the time, you know, to some of the elder musicians, you know.
So right.
It's important that people know who you are. Hey,
respect. Respect that. I mean, we've always been a band that believe. I mean, even when you see us live, you're literally seeing a performance, and that is what we go out to give. We try to give people their money's worth and try to bring back that credibility to the music, because Bob Marley went out to give people their money's worth, and the bands that followed him, you know, Spear and the Third World and the Steel Pulse, you can always know that you're going to get a show when you go to these people.
Yes,
you see what I mean?
Yes, indeed.
And you know, you have a good time, and the One Love vibe is strong, and you can feel that bonding. But I can't say the same thing when I go to a dance hall show, and I can't say the same thing for that kind of, you know, jump up and, you know, I mean, I see guys who come up and do 15 minutes and them tired and them run gone, and, you know, and everybody wondering what happened, you know what I mean? And then you have to put like 10 of them on a lineup in order to get a show.
It's pitiful, man.
You know what I mean?
It's really pitiful.
So, I mean, we have always pride ourselves on the fact that we're here to work for the people, because the people is really what, you know, them don't want to spend their money to come out and see us. They don't want to come out and support the music. So in order for them to support the music, we have to give them something to support. And that is where Foreign Exchange stand. We definitely, I mean, live show. You have seen the live show.
Yes,
you know,
man. Yes, man. And I want to say, if the Richard is listening, I know that we're going to be in touch with you.
Oh, definitely.
And can send him a promotional package on, you know, what he's going to hear.
Right.
You know,
right.
When you come through this way, man.
Exactly.
And I think I gave you some information.
Yeah, you gave me some information.
Yeah,
definitely.
Man. Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking forward, man. And I don't know when I'm going to get back down there to New York, when something good comes up, maybe. I don't know. But, you know.
Due to it happens so rare these days, you know what I mean? But I tell you something, it's always a pleasure for see you down here. And anytime I see you down here, I know something good is happening. Because the two times that I saw you was Israel and the meditation.
Yeah.
So I can always figure, well, then something good happening when I see Rastas.
Oh, man. Hey, well, listen, I want to thank you very much for calling. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get into, when you get off, I'm going to play some of the Such Is Life CD.
Oh, respect.
Yeah, man. I'll send you a tape of this, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And you hail up everyone down there.
I will.
And thank you very much, Paul.
Much respect. And I would like to say, you know, thanks to your audience and listeners. And, I mean, you know, keep supporting reggae music and support the radio station, right? Because you big up this, all right?
Yes, sir. One love.
One love.